Welcome to Everything Scary. My name is Lynn, and I'm here with my co-host, local celebrity. sorry, international celebrity.
Thank you.
Matt McLean.
Hello, hello.
Every Tuesday, we release a new episode, mostly true crime, but we've also been known to cover a pandemic, a haunting, a super mad, super strong chimpanzee. We'll cover anything and everything scary. Please rate us 5 stars and join us on Instagram at Everything Scary Pod. Here we go.
Welcome back.
Are we back recording?
We're back. Yeah, we're back recording.
Oh,
spin that bad
God.
Boy around, and you are also welcome to part number two.
Part two of the most horrific case ever that I think I've subjected you to.
Actually, it's not so bad.
You need to hang on.
Part one, not awful.
Yeah. Okay. Well, again, I'm going to give trigger warnings for anyone who knows true crime. This is the Shanda Scherer case. For anyone who doesn't know true crime, sexual violence, child abuse, child death, awful stuff, anything.
Murder.
Don't listen if you don't like pretty much anything.
Bad language.
Oh, yeah, there's going to be tons of that stuff.
Smoking, mature scenes.
Just us doing smoking bowls after bowls. Is that what they're called?
Listen, don't say, is that what they're called?
Is that, that is what it's called, though, right?
It is what it's called.
Do you smoke bowls or you take a bowl?
Smoke.
Is that what you do?
You know, we had a whole conversation on our Patreon-only Facebook page about feeling cool.
Oh, yeah.
And
am I being it?
You're done. No, you're not. Am
well,
I being it?
Super rude.
Is this cool?
First and foremost. Let's get all of the levity out of the way. Cause
yes.
Do you want to talk about smoking?
Taking bowls.
Do you take them?
No, you smoke them.
Are you on them?
And you can also rip them.
That sounds like a fart.
Ripping bowls.
Okay.
Ripping bowls.
So, the last episode, if you guys haven't listened, I would truly just recommend listening. You're going to be lost. But to kind of
set the scene.
Yeah, let's put it together a little bit. Shanda Scherer, 12 years old. She had just started a new school. She had gotten pretty close to a 15-year-old named Amanda Heverin, who was dating a 16-year-old by the name of Melinda Lovelace.
Super jealous.
Super jealous. Came from a horrifically abusive home. Mm-hmm. Melinda kind of orchestrated it to have Shanda taken on the night of January 10th of 1992 and horribly, horribly beaten. So the people in the car at the time were Melinda Lovelace, Lori Tackett, who was also 16, Hope Rippey, who was 15, and Tony Lawrence, who was 15 as well.
Tony Lawrence.
So these girls had now gotten back from the concert that they were at the end of last episode. They returned to Shanda's home. It was about 12:30 a.m. At this point in time, though, Tony, who is the one that doesn't partake as much, she was not going back to that front door. So it was Lori and Hope that went to the door, and they told Shanda, you know, get in the car. We're going to go see Amanda. And so something worth mentioning is that Shanda didn't bring her purse, which to her mom, Jackie, she believed that if Shanda thought that she was actually leaving the driveway, she would have brought her purse. She said she wouldn't even go to the washroom without it.
Okay.
So it was one of those things. But regardless, they got Shanda into the middle seat in the front. So Lori was driving, Shanda is in the middle, and then Hope is on the passenger side, Tony is in the back of the car, and Melinda is on the floorboards covered with a blanket. Because if Shanda got in the car and saw Melinda Lovelace sitting there,
of course,
she would not have gotten in the car.
Right.
So they began to back up, and she didn't know that Melinda was sitting there. As they were driving, Shanda's between Lori and Hope, the two girls who are older than her and who she's never seen before. And then Lori starts discussing Shanda's relationship with Amanda. I assume this was probably pretty confusing for Shanda, but sadly, it was going to be making sense pretty soon. So once they were on the road and moving, Melinda popped up, and at first she said, "Shut it, bitch." And then she said something to the effect of, "I bet you didn't expect to see me here, like,
Jesus.
Surprise." And of course, she had the kitchen knife in her hand. Naturally, Shanda started screaming and crying. She was promising that she wouldn't see Amanda again. But, you know, Melinda had heard that all before. So they decided that they were going to take her to this place that was called the Witch's Castle. The Witch's Castle, if you look it up, is basically a broken down rock building there's still like a rock and mortar fireplace that stands completely up. Yeah. And there are rumors that like locals used it to kill a bunch of witches and that their bones are still like in the dungeon of this place. So they take Shanda there. They strip her down. They take her bra off and they pass it around. Then they take whatever rings that they can get off of her fingers and they take a Mickey Mouse watch off of her arm because she's fucking 12.
12 years old.
And at some point, the watch alarm goes off and Melinda does like a little dance to it as she has her watch. They bind her hands and feet and they light her t-shirt on fire off of her. And Lori tells Shanda that that is going to be her soon.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
How did they have all these like-minded assholes?
That's kind of it, right?
Like, how does, I mean, now I understand how assholes get together with social media and the algorithm pushes your interests, but how back then?
Like, how do you just bring up with somebody like, hey.
Murder? What? All right. Okay.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
It freaks me out.
Right?
So. They tell her that this is going to be her, but then Lori starts to worry that the light from the fire is going to be easily seen from the street. So she tells them that they're going to leave. So the whole time that this has happened, Hope and Tony are still in the car. But when they're struggling with her to like bind her hands and whatnot, Hope leaves the car. And Tony says from her vantage point, she watches Hope hold Shanda down. But Hope said that she was trying to help Shanda. Yeah, I just don't believe her because there's a lot that lends itself to why I don't believe her. So by this point, they had stabbed her in the legs a bunch of times. They had stabbed the bottom of her feet. Yeah. So then they decide that what they're going to do is they're going to take a rope and they're going to choke her until she loses consciousness. And so Melinda and Lori continue to take turns choking her until she loses consciousness. And then they think that she has passed away. So what they do is they put her in the trunk of the car and then they drive to Lori's house where they went inside to drink some soda. They get cleaned up and they want to discuss what they have done. But this is now like the middle of the night. Like it was 12:30 when they originally picked her up.
Yeah.
As they sat in Lori's bedroom, they heard the dog barking. And when they stopped to listen, they could hear that Shanda was screaming from the back of the car.
Oh, fuck.
So Lori would go out with a tire iron and hit Shanda. This is not even the worst of it, Matt.
Oh, my God. You got to be shitting.
Yeah. So she would hit Shanda in the head until she was quiet. Oof. And then she came inside and told Melinda that they needed to get Shanda away from her house. So Hope and Tony at this point said they were tired and they were going to stay behind in Lori's house. And this will be another point in time when Tony could have gotten help.
Yeah.
Lori's dad would even come into the room at one point asking where his daughter was. And the girls told him that she was, so Lori and Melinda were just driving around. They'd be home soon. And even if they were too scared to tell Lori's father, like maybe he's a fucking lunatic like his daughter too. But like, they could have found a phone, I think. Like, get your mom to pick you up, you know? But instead, Melinda and Lori were out there. They were driving around with this literal child in the trunk. And they would later admit that every time Shanda would make a noise, they would pull over and Lori would take the tire iron and beat her. Even once exclaiming that it was cool that she felt her skull cave in.
Wow.
Yeah. So after one beating, she even brought the weapon to Melinda and told her to smell the tire iron. Oh, like, just fucking sick.
I mean, you know, all things equal in society and stuff. I just think, like, young girls is super innocent. That, to me, is so... It goes against everything you know of, like, beatings like this. Like, without any details, you wouldn't say, oh, these are teenage girls.
Right. And, like, Lori didn't even know Shanda from a hole in the wall. You know what I mean? Like, Melinda had this bet to settle, kind of like, you know, she'd, it was like she had stole her girlfriend or whatever it was. But like, Lori didn't, she couldn't have picked Shanda out of a crowd.
Well,
and she's saying, smell the tire iron.
It just seems like there's just so much trauma. It's, you know, what, you know, hurt people.
Well, right? I mean,
it's just so much trauma. I mean, that's, yeah,
this is the most literal version of that possible.
Yeah.
So at this point, the sun is starting to come up So worrying about what her parents will say when they, you know, Lori's parents, when they find these two random 15-year-old girls alone in the house, Lori decides to head home with Shanda still in the trunk. Hmm. When she arrives, her mother is awake and she is furious. Remember, these are the super duper religious people too.
Right.
So she's mad that her daughter didn't ask to have these other kids there. So Lori assures her mother that she's going to be dropping them off at home. The four of them leave. And after a little while, Lori and Melinda want to show Tony and Hope how badly they've hurt Shanda. Tony refuses to get out and look, but Hope does. And as soon as they open the trunk, Shanda sits right up. Oh, this part.
What? With her skull key?
Kills me. She sits straight up, and the only thing that she has the strength to muster is mommy.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah. That would be her last word. And so Hope sees this. This is Hope. So she's the other one of the 15-year-olds that really shouldn't be. They don't. She's not the one that wants to kill Shanda. She's not the one that wants to kill somebody. And she grabs from the trunk a bottle of Windex and starts spraying Shanda's open wounds with it.
Oh, for fuck's sakes.
Go fucking get killed. She was on Dr. Phil, too. Out in front of Shanda's mother. I have a bone to pick with Dr. Phil.
Yes. Out of jail?
Uh-huh.
You just have one bone to pick with Phil? I don't even call him doctor.
Fucking yeah. Asshole. I'll talk to you about him in a minute. Ugh. So the Heart girls, pass. The girls, you just leave.
I'm like, yeah, hey, just Clark, get up. Clark. Yeah.
It's just me, I call Clark. The dog yeah. over. He's like, yeah, he doesn't seem great.
Yeah.
So the girls then drive to a gas station where they instruct Tony. So this is the most Tony has done. Okay.
Right.
Tony Lawrence. To go inside and buy a 2-liter bottle of soda. She goes inside and she buys this 2-liter bottle of soda. Mm-hmm. Again, though, you now have multiple.
There's a clerk.
There's tons of people yeah. around. Like, it's the morning, so it's light outside. Like, mm-hmm. fucking say something.
Yeah.
Anything. So, you know, at first she could say that she didn't really think this was going to happen. You can no longer say it's not. I didn't think it was going to happen. It's fucking happening.
Yeah, I always try to check myself when kind of, you know, saying, well, you really should have called somebody because you never know what right. their, you know, the fear. But
she was probably petrified. But when you're out of their grasp.
You're 15 years old. That's still a kid, but you're old enough. And you had ample opportunity.
Like, away from them. That's the thing. You know yes. what I mean? Like, at her house. Do you know how long they were gone? They were gone for 4 hours.
Yeah. Well, you even the gas station, right? Could have locked the door behind you.
They could, you could have done anything. Yeah. There's so many mm-hmm. opportunities that they wouldn't fucking be able to hold a knife to your throat. Mm-hmm. I can understand when you're within you're reach
in
of them.
In the car and you're shoulder to shoulder.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But no, you're inside somewhere where there's ample help around you. Mm-hmm. So as much as I do feel for her, because I feel like she really did not want this to happen, but yeah. she could have changed it. She mm-hmm. had the power to change it. And Shanda's father does point that out in sentencing. So she's had multiple opportunities. It's happening. You seem to be the only one with even a sliver of a conscience. Mm-hmm. So if you're not telling somebody this child is dead, like, she doesn't stand a chance without you.
Yeah.
And sadly, Tony couldn't bring herself to tell anyone.
It's almost like you kind of don't expect much from these other assholes.
The other three, they're fucked.
Yeah.
Be with Satan or whoever the hell.
Yeah.
But she went in and she got this 2-liter and the other girls emptied it and filled it with gas. They actually even had to move the car at one point when they were at the gas station because Shanda was still making noise. Like, this kid fucking fought. She wow. like to say at the beginning that she had a love for life was yeah, like no the understatement.
Yeah, really.
She was making noise and it was looking as if people were going to be able to hear her. So they had to pull the car away so that nobody could hear what was happening. So Hope, our should be innocent person Hope, but is not, is the one to instruct them where to go next. It's called Lemon Road. It's a gravel road with a field at the end of it. It's surrounded by fields and like an abandoned, like dilapidated house or two. Mm. And that's it. I have trigger warning this entire episode. This is going to be more of a trigger warning.
We're going to have, oh boy.
They open the trunk to find Shanda horribly beaten, stabbed, choked, only wearing her underwear, essentially unconscious, And when they throw the blanket on her that Melinda was hiding under, one of the other girls said that they could see her hand grasp the blanket. Ugh, I hate this fucking case.
Wow.
Lori then instructed Hope. So Hope, like the 15-year-old that didn't know these people, that's the fucking, she's the one that I'm just like, what the fuck? You were just game for evil.
Yeah.
Like you were like, you know what? We could either go to this concert tonight or we could fucking maim a 12-year-old. Mm-hmm. So she told Hope to grab the 2-liter bottle filled with gas and dump it on Shanda's head and hands. Mm. She then lit the lighter and lit Shanda on fire. All of the girls got back into the car and drove up a bit of the road when Melinda looked into the rearview mirror and saw that the fire was beginning to simmer. So she decided to go around, turn around and go back. She then emptied the rest of the gas onto Shanda and lit the flame again. After they had snuffed out the life of this young, happy little girl, these four went to McDonald's for breakfast. And they even made a joke about a burnt sausage, saying that it resembled Shanda's body.
Like, this is like Dahmer. This is like Bernardo. Like, how is this? Like, this is like evil.
It's like, I think this is more than them. I don't know why. Yeah. Like, I just like, just because it's just so, especially this Hope chick. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like,
yeah.
I just don't understand. Like, you could just leave your house one day and be like, well, either I could go to Chapters or I could fucking beat a baby.
Yeah.
Like those, but they're interchangeable.
Yeah.
You're good.
So, yeah. And you know what? You never know. Like, and I'm sure that trauma has some issue and I'm sure it causes some.
We are going to find out. I'll say it
with
here.
With your moral compass. I don't know. I don't know how it fucks you up.
Here's the thing is I think that maybe, and this is only my personal opinion because I don't fucking have a psychology degree. This just in. Mm-hmm. But I just think that when you live or grow up in a home where your life as a child and as a human being is so devalued, like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. they don't consider you to be a person. So maybe you don't consider other people yeah. to be a person. Like, mm-hmm. and we will find out that Hope also. She was molested by a family member when she was 9, and then she was raped by another boy when she was 14. So all three of the ones that were like really hands-on involved mm-hmm. did suffer at the hands of other people.
Wow, that's hard, man.
It is hard. You're right.
Wow.
So
everybody's victim.
Yeah.
We're all, yeah.
It's overall just fucking awful.
Yeah.
Larry Lovelace, get hit by a couple more buses up in wherever the fuck you were. So Melinda... Then, after they went to McDonald's and enjoyed a fucking breakfast, Melinda then called Amanda, the girlfriend, and essentially told her what she had done in her honor. Like,
yeah,
guess what I did for you?
Wow.
Of course, Amanda didn't initially believe her, but Melinda then took her to see the blood in the trunk of the car. The next morning, Shanda's dad, Steve, woke up to his wife telling him that Shanda was not in her room. At first, they were hoping that she had just gone for a walk or something innocent enough, but then they got worried to the point that they called Shanda's mom, Jackie, and Jackie showed up at their house right away. As soon as she got there, she located her daughter's purse, and right away, she said, call the police. She knew. She knew that her daughter wouldn't have left the house without her purse, so they filed a missing persons report for their 12-year-old daughter. Around the same time, two brothers who were out quail hunting, their names were Dan and Ralph Foley, came across what they thought at first was a mannequin. Upon further inspection, they realized that the smell was not that of plastic, and they called the sheriff's department. But that takes us back to the beginning of the episode. If you don't remember, on the evening of the Saturday, Hope and Tony went to Hope's parents, and then they showed up at Tony's parents' house. And Hope's parents had contacted an attorney, and Tony's parents had gone to the sheriff's department. At first, getting anything straight with Tony was almost impossible because she was beyond hysterical. She was rambling. She would get halfway through a sentence and would start a different thought. She was a fucking mess, of course. At first, there was a bit of confusion. They were looking for a missing person report in the wrong county. But after Tony gave them her version of the night's event, they... Like, she didn't even know Shanda's last name or how old she was. Like, you know, these kids partook in her horrific demise, and they didn't even know who the fuck she was.
Her execution.
Like there's... The worst kind of execution I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And now the hunters were calling in. So, you know, we've got Tony saying one thing. We've got the parents reporting their kid missing. Now the hunters are finding it wasn't long before
all the pieces
were coming together pretty quickly. And the cops figured out that they had the body of 12-year-old Shanda Scherer. When the Clark County Sheriff's Department arrived at Shanda's dad's home, Jackie and Steve at first were so happy and relieved because they thought that they had found her. There was good news somewhere.
God.
And thinking that she was going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And then the officer sat down and Jackie said that his exact words were, "Shanda is gone. I'm so sorry your child has been murdered." To which Steve fell on the floor and kept repeating, "My baby."
Do you think that is like a good way to, there is no good way to tell, but to say the murder part, like right away,
would just tell them. So it's not like she's missing or like just,
no, but just say, listen, your daughter's is no longer
alive
with us. Yeah. And spare the details, or
I mean, I guess because a lot of people you will hear. Well, guess what? They heard the details on the news the next morning. Yeah.
That's awful.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
But I guess it's like, I mean, these officers are still humans, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, you go through all this training and stuff like that, but like, are you ever trained enough to tell a parent that their child was set on fire?
No, I don't think there's any training
that you could get.
No, and if there is, it's not enough.
No.
It would never be enough.
And the worst part is that the coroner would later tell us that Shanda's, the way she died was smoke inhalation.
What is that?
She was alive when she was on fire. She was breathing in the smoke.
Oh, right. Wow.
I fucking hate this case. I was like, this should be an easy case for me to just get through. And then I was like, this is the worst case ever of all time.
Would you like to take a minute?
No, I'm going to fucking.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Do you need a minute?
No, I'm good. I mean, I'm not, but.
So, yeah. They would find out the news of the fire and the torture on the media. And cops surrounded Melinda's home at 2 a.m. And they barged in and arrested Lori and Melinda, who were asleep in bed. All four girls would end up taking plea deals for guilt. So Tony Lawrence, who did not physically do anything at all to Shanda, but also could have likely saved her life, pled to criminal confinement. Hope Rippey would claim that she did pour the gas and she did spray the Windex, but the other three girls, including Tony, would all insist that she did more than she would admit to.
Mm.
kept going for appeal after appeal after appeal, and she eventually got it down to 35 years. But for whatever reason, since apparently sentences are just numbers.
Yeah, they don't mean shit.
Toni Lawrence would get out after 9 years of jail, which I think is pretty fair. Might even be on the high end.
Wait, how many years did Toni get?
Toni got 9.
For the confinement.
Yeah, so she got 20. She served 9.
So 20 years for the confinement, eh?
Yeah.
Like that was the only charge.
That was the only charge. She didn't do anything, right? She just didn't stop it. Mm. So she would get out just under 9. Hope Rippey would get out after 14. She and his mom would appear on the Dr. Phil show in 2017. She is fully aware of both of the abuse claims from Lori and Melinda that they had received as children. Actually, Hope, like I just said, had, you know, she had markers of abuse in her past. 9 years old, she was molested by a relative. 14, raped by a boy that she knew. But Shanda's mother, Jackie, of course, can't forgive these girls. Like, how the fuck could you? And she said that the only thing that they could do to make her even feel a sliver better was to serve their full sentences, which none of them did.
No, no.
Lori was given a 60-year sentence, which she fully accepted. Like, she was, like, ready. She's the only one.
And that was her goal.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Like, it was her destiny, she said. But she was the only one in this 2017 interview with Jackie. She said that Lori was the only one that had not gone for appeals. She was just accepting it. Mm-hmm. But they interviewed her in prison, and she said that she is remorseful and that the older she gets, the more empathy she feels. But who the fucking hell knows? She looked to me like she doesn't have a soul, so what do I know? She also got out in 2018 for good behavior.
Oh, God.
Now, for Melinda, she is clearly the ringleader here. if it weren't for Melinda, none of this would have happened. And if nothing, you know, nothing can excuse what she did. That being said, I do think that she was a monster, given what her dad did to her. I think that kind of turned her into a monster.
Created, yeah, for sure.
But there were also plenty of people who go through damaging childhoods who don't even do a fraction of the things that she
did. Well, you think of, like, you know, going to advocacy.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes we'll do a story and I'm blown away that somebody's able to relive mm-hmm. that trauma for mm-hmm. the greater.
And one of the earlier stories that we did comes to mind, which you will not remember, but his name was Brooks. And he was like, people had broken into their house and they put them all down and they shot all of him and his family and his mm-hmm. parents died and him and his sister nearly bled out. And he was kind of just like on this path of like just surviving and like dropping out of colleges and doing all this kind of stuff. And then he was like, what the fuck am I doing here? Like, my parents died and I was given my life for a reason. Like, I should make something of who I am. And he changed laws. Like, he was like in Oklahoma, he changed all sorts of like victim advocacy laws. Like, he was amazing. Mm-hmm. But this is not the path that Melinda took.
Yeah.
So they sat down with her, like the cops and the lawyers and like a bunch of other people. And basically anyone who sat down with Melinda would talk about how dumb she was, like, for lack of a better word. Like, I don't want to call her dumb, but she wasn't bright.
Yeah.
Her stepfather even said that it concerned him a lot with her because he did notice that Melinda would watch, like, little kid shows. And she was, like, 16 years old.
But don't you have to be, like, smart to manipulate? Like, aren't manipulators, like, smart?
But here's the thing. This is before she did anything. This is just her living her life out. Like, I don't think it was manipulation. I think she was regressing. I think that maybe after her dad had passed away and this other guy stepped in, like, it was finally a chance for her to feel safe as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Because she would play with dolls and, like, little kid toys and she would watch all these little kid shows. And, like, the cops would say, like, she's not very bright. Like, she can barely make a connection in sentences.
Wow.
And, like, she had been held back a year, right?
Yeah.
Like, it all kind of... So Melinda, you know, she brought up the point in court. Well, they all pled guilty, so they didn't have mm-hmm. trials. They had sentence hearings.
Right.
But she did say that her father had burnt a doll of hers that was a, she called it like her best friend. And when he did this, her mom had gone out and she had like rebought the same doll, but it wasn't the same. Like, it was kind of like one of those things that was like pretty scarring for her as a kid. And then when her stepfather came into things, she started like having dolls again and playing with it. Like, it was kind of like she was just trying
shot at childhood.
Right.
Wow.
That's exactly right. So now, you know, she was in jail. She was in there for 60 years. She was supposed to be.
6-0?
6-0 was supposed to be Lori and Melinda's sentences. But while she was in jail, and I watched this entire interview, she was visited by a guy named Charlie. Charlie was a burn victim. And you can see, like, the whole side of his head, like, the whole left side of his head mm-hmm. is badly burnt. It's a scar. He can't grow hair in there anymore. And Melinda is part of this program, and I think it's called, like, the IC program. It's, like, Indiana Canine something or other. And basically what she does is that she trains canines who are then given to, like, elderly or disabled or children who have been abused. And he eventually tells her, like, as he's interviewing her, that he knows why she's here. He knows what she did to Shanda. And he wanted to meet her to see if she truly felt remorse. And when Charlie was convinced that Melinda was, you know, just as horrified by what she had done, he told her that he bred dogs and then he would donate them to the prison for the inmates to train. And he wanted to be able to donate a dog a year in Shanda's name. And he wanted to donate it to Melinda to train because apparently she was actually really good at training these dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But before he did that, he wanted to speak with Shanda's mom. He didn't want to, like, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I kinda he wanted like that.
To. Yeah. So he goes and he talks to Jackie and he says, "Do you want to see a video of Melinda training these dogs?" Surprisingly, because this was before Dr. Phil, way before Dr. Phil. Jackie still fucking hates all these girls with a vengeance,
yeah.
And rightfully so.
Uh-huh.
But she says, yes, she would like to see Melinda train this dog. And he shows it to her, and she's, like, kind of flabbergasted. Like, she's like, I know all about her history, and I think, I always thought that, like, the way her father raised her, it kind of gave, like, she lacked the ability to feel empathy or care.
Psycho.
Or, yeah, like, yeah. He's like, she was like, I didn't think she had the ability to feel compassion for another living thing. So, like, I'm actually really happy to see that she can be so nice to these dogs.
Yeah, she's got that emotional kind of
connection. Has something, anything, right?
Yeah, feelings.
So, anything. So he says, do you think you would be okay if I donated a dog in Shanda's name for Melinda to train? And Jackie says, yeah, I think that you should do that. And I give her my blessing to train that dog.
Like, are you just, in my mind, if your go-to isn't to tell this guy, absolutely, and then train the dog to rip her goddamn fucking throat out of her head, you're just way more mature and evolved than I am.
But the thing is, like in 2017, which is way later, she still fucking hates these girls. So she is able to compartmentalize those two things. You know what I mean? Like, I still fucking hate her. Don't get me wrong. But I think this is probably good for her as a human to be able to have something to love and be able to, maybe this will be some sort of rehabilitation for her. But I still fucking hate her guts.
Wow.
So, yeah. So she says, and when he shows this video to Melinda as she's sitting in jail, she becomes hysterical.
The video of
Jackie saying, please go ahead and do this. She actually says verbatim that it's better than winning the lottery, and it's better than if somebody came up to her in that moment and told her she could leave the prison. She said, if I can even do anything that causes a sliver more of pain to that woman, I don't want to do it. Mm. She's like, I can't even comprehend what I've done and what she's gone through. And she watched her give her victim impact statement at her sentencing. You know what was crazy was that actually, so Jackie, throughout all of the sentencing, she had a video of Shanda as a baby and as a kid. And she sat there and she narrated it and she told them what Shanda was doing and like how happy she was and this and that and the other. The two girls that were most involved watched the whole fucking thing. Tony watched the entire thing. Hope put her eyes down. And Jackie stopped it in the middle. I have goosebumps. And she stopped the presentation and she said to the judge, excuse me, do you think that you can force her to watch? And he said, lift your head and watch this thing. And he made Hope watch the entire thing.
Jackie seems like a bit of a fucking badass.
She's a force. She's a fucking force. And so is her older daughter, Paige. Because Paige and Jackie sat on the Dr. Phil stage and they talked to Hope right across from them. And they're like, what do you want from us? Like, what do you need? And she was just like, I'm so sorry. And I'm blah, 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 blah. And they're like, Paige says, I hope you can never have kids. And I don't wish anything good for you. And I hope every day you suffer.
Yes.
And I'm kind of like, go Paige.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Like, maybe there's more mature people out there that wouldn't agree. And she said, too, she was like, I just thought that if I could sit here and give them some sort of relief so that they, you know, would help it be easier for them. And so the mother, Jackie says,
well,
can you bring her back?
Yeah.
Like, can you make it so that she wasn't tormented? And then here's my biggest bone to pick with Dr. Phil. Well, he's sitting there with Jackie and Paige. Actually, I think it's just Jackie at this point in time. Dr. Phil says, she was set on fire and her lungs were filled with soot. How does it make you feel to think of how she felt in those last moments? Yeah,
fuck you, Phil. You know.
What? Wait, what?
There are, and you know, he's obviously trying to elicit an emotional response.
This is a fucking human being, though.
There are ways to get, you know, you lost a daughter. That must be hard for you. Right. There are ways. And because if there's a mother out there that lost a daughter for sure from a job.
No, this is salacious.
Yes.
That's all it was.
To dress it up like.
How does that make you feel in her last moments that she was being tortured? Oh, you know, great. Actually, I feel fucking pretty fantastic about it. What do you mean?
Phil?
like, a jerk. I want to die all the time because of that. What the fuck are you talking about? This mother said that she would stand in front of the mirror with a handful of pills, and she would have to talk herself out of taking those that handful of pills every single day.
I got a question, Dr. Phil. Your wife obviously has had a shit ton of plastic surgery and facelifts, and yet she hawks skincare product. How does that make you feel?
That's the funniest thing, too, right? He's like, you know, everybody else thinks that I'm so much older than Robin. Yeah, well, she's had her hair, her head stretched right down to the top of her butt crack. What are you talking about?
Shit.
Yeah, and I do, I'm an admitted Dr. Phil fan, but this pissed me off because it's like, you know the answer. What do you want her to say? Do you need some sort of a fucking descriptive word that's the same as like, it rips my stomach out of my ass every single day?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, don't ask her that. Don't have her on the fucking show. Don't put her in front of this fucking ding dong.
Yeah.
If I was on that show, it would be a liability.
I would love to watch that because I'm pretty much guarantee you that Dr. Phil said, Jackie, I know it's been tough for you, so here's Robin with a line of skincare products you. Help your day go by.
And you can have Kitsy Witsy Tipsy Lipsy, and it's like all these stupid fucking rhyming names for all of her dumb products.
It is?
Yeah, it's like Lipsy Whipsy and Eyebrows to Go Brows. it's a bunch of bullshit is all it is.
Eyebrows and Go Brows.
But no, it really, that one thing really set me off because I was already so invested. No,
Phil's a fucking asshole.
I was so invested in this case already, and I've already fucking swallowed like lumps in my throat trying to fucking get through this Shanda Sharer case because this is, at the end of the day, a fucking baby.
It is.
She's a baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And these fucking... I'm sorry. Like, I am great. I'm so happy that you can train dogs. If somebody said, hey, do you want this dog? Because he can go to the bathroom outside and he can sit. And Melinda Lovelace taught him that. I'd be like, I'm super sorry about that, but I don't want demon dog in my house.
Right?
You know what? The dog's probably great. I don't need that energy right now.
Some people can separate the person from their crime.
Not me.
I'm not there just yet. All right? I'm going to need some time. And why the fuck is she allowed to play with these fucking dogs?
And this is, I have one last point to make.
I know that rehabilitation is important.
Us, we're getting through the episode with no one crying. It was only.
Well, you cried a little.
A little bit, sorry. Did you notice?
I did.
I was trying not to.
I was trying not to cry when I see you. Oh, it was like a bounty towel?
I don't know what you use those for, and I'm worried. So.
Yes, you do.
Lastly, did you say yes?
Yes, I did. Self-care.
It's self-love. It's different. So, Amanda Heverin, of course, we need to touch on the girlfriend.
Yes.
The fucking catalyst to this whole issue. Like I said, Shanda's mom stands firmly in her opinion that Amanda was a predator who was going after a 12-year-old child. But Amanda, too, was on Dr. Phil. And it was just Amanda and Phil. And Phil tells her straight up that Jackie thinks that she, too, should be in prison. And that is what Jackie said. She said there should have been 5 people in jail.
Really?
Yep.
Why is that?
Because she fucking... Melinda told her 100 times she was going to kill Shanda.
Right. She's,
you know what? I mean, that age difference could have like, if you put it backwards, like, Shanda was 10 and Amanda was 13. That's legal age for her to babysit Shanda. It's true. 12 years old is when you can legally babysit somebody. 11 years old is when you can stay at home alone.
Oh, wow.
So she should have protected her. She should have done more.
Yeah.
And so Amanda apparently is she's still got a big attitude problem. And she was saying, well, she was hitting on me. I tried to go to the bathroom and she cornered me in the bathroom and...
Oh, so that's no responsibility, no awareness. No.
And this is 2017. So
that's a shame.
Many years later, and she's like, yeah, she liked me, and she's the reason this happened. She was a baby, so fuck you. Sadly, after the death of his little girl in such a horrific way, like I said, Steve Scherer fell in a whole depression. And as far as anyone who loved him would say, he literally drank himself to death. His wife, Sharon, said after his passing that she had a dream. And it was Steve, and he was sitting with Shanda on his knee, and he said to Sharon, isn't she beautiful? And Sharon said, she sure is. And that's the end of it.
You got it. That in you, bitch.
And that is the horrific story of the death of 12-year-old Shanda Sharer.
Wow. Just horrific all around.
All around.
Yeah. Shit.
I know. It was like there was just the worst fucking possible players. Just
pain multiplied.
Yeah, it was awful.
Wow. Heartbreaker.
So, sorry, guys. But, I mean, maybe we'll do a good one next time. How about a...
Yeah, there you... Don't forget to smash that subscribe button.
We're both sitting here with, like, tears in our eyes.
Shit.
Okay, guys. Thanks for listening. Bye.